See you guys this morning. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through chapter 4, verse 1. Philippians 3, verses 12 through chapter 4, verse 1. So I'm just going to read it, we'll pray, and then we'll get into it. It says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved." So, Lord, we thank you so much, God, for your word. Thank you that it's alive and it's powerful. It teaches us about you, Lord. It helps us to walk in your ways, God. Pray that you give us ears to hear what it is you want to say to us from your word. We just want to lay down the distractions, Lord, of the week, God, and all the things that we're thinking about. We want to give you those things right now, God. Pray that you be glorified in our time this morning, God, and that you would speak to us and you change us and you make us more like you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys awake? Cool. Okay, we've been in Philippians chapter 3. Last week we looked at the basic summary verse of last week was that we're made righteous with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Right? Paul is saying, hey, we're not made right with God based upon our works. Right, we saw these people who were coming into the church and they're trying to put a trip on the Philippians. They're saying, it's okay that you believe in Christ, but you need to observe the works of the law. And for them in that day, that looked like circumcision. That was a big thing for them. So they were saying, Jesus is okay, he's good, but you also have to add to that your works. We see a lot of that in our day, right, where people seek to add to the finished work of Christ. We want to have something to bring to the table in our relationship with the Lord. And so it's a humbling thing to hear that you can't bring anything to the table. Like you have to bring yourself and your sin and say, Lord, I need you to save me. It's kind of, it offends us. It offends our pride. We want to bring something. We want to offer God something that would help us get into his right graces. And Paul's saying here, last week he said, you know what? There's nothing you could do. Your spiritual resume will not cut it with God. How good do you have to be in God's good graces? You have to be perfect. And Paul's saying, even with all of my accomplishments, all of my spiritual heritage, he's saying, I'm not depending upon my own righteousness. I throw myself on the righteousness of Christ. He's saying, I put all my faith in the Lord, and he says, I want to know him more. I want to know Christ. So when you come to the Lord, you put your faith in Christ, That's the initial knowing. But that knowing, that knowledge, it bursts in you a desire to know him more. Right? That's one of the evidences that you do know God, is that you want to know him and you want to grow with him more. There are barriers to that. And we'll see that today. Paul's going to talk about what are some of the barriers in our walk with Christ. What are some of the things that get in the way of our relationship with the Lord? Paul's saying, I want to experience the power of his resurrection, just like that song we sang so beautifully captured it. That song based upon these verses, he says, I want to gain Christ. All of my earthly accomplishments, I count them as loss for the sake of knowing Christ. In this section, we're going to be seeing that Paul hasn't yet attained these things. He's saying, I'm pursuing these things, but I haven't arrived. Right? In this first section, verses 12 through 16, we're going to see Paul say, keep moving forward. Right? Keep moving forward in your life with Christ. He says in verse 12, I haven't obtained these things that I'm talking about knowing Christ. He's like, I'm not perfect, but I press on. I'm pressing on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Paul is speaking to the Judaizers who we looked at last week, who were seeking to say, you guys have to be justified by what you do along with the work of Christ. And he's saying, you're never going to be made perfect in this life. You're never going to have complete righteousness. Now, positionally, we have that with Christ, right? When God looks at us and you have faith in Christ, you are righteous. But practically, Paul is saying, you're never going to arrive in your spiritual life. Sometimes we have that. Sometimes we have that in our life with Christ. We hit a plateau, right? If you've ever thought about your relationship with God, you're like, I think I've experienced all there is to know about God. I'm content with the knowledge that I have about Christ. We kind of plateau. Just like some of you guys at your jobs, you kind of feel like, you know, I got to a certain point, maybe with a certain job, and I hit the ceiling. There's nowhere to go from here. Like, I hit the top. Paul's saying that's not possible in your spiritual life with Christ. Remember, Paul has been a believer now for 30 years. He was used to write the Bible, right? Like, none of us have that kind of pedigree. None of us are writing scripture. Paul's saying, you know what? Even though I've done all these things, I've seen the risen Christ, I haven't arrived. And he says there in verse 12, I'm trying to lay hold of Christ. Christ made me his own. And so that's what we're called to do as believers. Christ has laid hold of our lives, and we're to lay hold of Christ. We see this in Romans chapter 28. Just kidding, seeing if you're awake. Chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. That famous verse where Paul says that God works all things together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And then he goes on, he says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. We love verse 28, right? God works all things together for good. But notice, to those who love him. Do you love Jesus this morning? And notice the goal. Why does God save people? Why does God bring people into right relationship with him? In verse 29, he says, it's to conform them to the image of his son. Right? That is God's purpose for saving us. He wants to make us more like Christ. And Paul's saying, I want to lay hold of that. I want to submit myself to that process of being more Christ-like. And that happens as we look upon the Lord, like our brother was saying. Such a sweet picture. Chris was telling us, just beholding the Lord, right? Looking to the Father. Paul says that in 2 Corinthians 3:18, that we're transformed as we gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. We're being transformed from one degree of glory to the next. And so sometimes we want to change more. We see our lives, we're like, man, I feel like I'm still learning the same lessons that I learned 10 years ago, or I thought I learned. I feel like I should be growing more. I don't have that desire for Christ. many times there's things that are in the world that choke out that desire. We're so comfortable that sometimes our comforts can work against our life with Christ. And so it starts with being honest with God. Like, God, where am I at this morning? Like, do I really desire God? And if we're honest, we'd have to say, you know what? Like, I'm kind of indifferent sometimes. I mean, I like Jesus. I like the idea. I like what he's done for me. But I don't feel passionate about him. It starts with being honest about where are we at with the Lord. And then from that place, we can say, God, like, I want to be excited again, you know? I want to feel like I once felt about the gospel, about that you saved me, that we're here in worship this morning. I don't want my heart to be like cold, just like, oh, okay, when's this going to be done? I want my heart to burn with the truths of who you are and what you've done. And Paul's saying in verse 13, I don't consider that I've made it my own. I haven't arrived. But this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on. Paul's saying, I haven't arrived. None of us have arrived. Do you realize that there's always more that you can experience in your relationship with the Lord this morning? Like, what you're currently experiencing with God, God has more for you today. That's an amazing thing to think about. No matter how much you know about the Bible, no matter how many things God has done in your past, there's more for us to walk in this morning. Paul says here, this is the one thing I do. He was focused. He had purpose. Okay, one thing. Think about this. Forgetting what lies behind. And I ask myself, okay, what does that mean to forget that which lies behind in our life with Christ? Remember last week we were talking about Paul and all of his accomplishments, right? All of his achievements and how he was raised in a Jewish home. And he's saying, these are all like the pluses for me, right? These are all the things on my resume that look amazing, that people covet. And Paul's saying, I count that all as loss. What are some of the things that we're called to forget? And what does he mean by forgetting what lies behind? What he's saying here, he's using this imagery of running a race. This word straining, it's like when you see a runner and he's just kind of going for it. You know, like that last push, sometimes when you see them cross the finish line, they get that last little burst. Every muscle kind of involved in striving to finish the race. Paul's saying, hey, this is what I do. I have this single focus. I'm forgetting what lies behind. And what does he mean by that? Because are we just called to forget all the bad things in our life? Is that what he's saying? I don't think that's what he's saying. Because we're called to remember the great things that God has done, right? And part of what that looks like is the things that he's intervened in our lives in the negative sense. The things that he saved us from or out of, we're called to remember those things. But what he's saying here in this image of a race, he's saying what it means to forget what lies behind, it means to not allow the past to have power over you for your current walk with Christ. What are the areas that are slowing you down in your walk with Christ this morning? When you think about your past, the context here is, you're thinking about the positive things, right? Maybe you say, man, I remember this time when I was like 10 years ago when I found Christ and I was loving Christ and I was like, man, this is amazing. But now I just kind of feel cold. I'm not that excited anymore. But I remember those days. And sometimes you'll hear people say, man, I remember in the Jesus days, you know, when God was moving, he did all these amazing things, which is amazing to think about. But how are you currently experiencing Christ? What's your current relationship with Christ? So sometimes the great things that God has done can be a hindrance to our current walk with Christ. We're to allow those things in the past to propel us to walk with Christ. We remember, right? When you're in a situation where you're like, man, I got to trust the Lord. Who am I going to marry? How do how do I raise my kids? My job is rough, and I'm struggling to find purpose, you know, to find, like, motivation to keep going. You have to remember that Christ is present with you today. You have to remember that as God has worked in the past in your life, He wants to work in the present as well. And so we want to have that expectation to look for that and to pray for that. Like, Lord, maybe I'm not feeling very spiritual this morning, but I believe that You can revive my heart. I believe that You can do it. And sometimes God wants us to seek Him for that, right? Early on, when you come to Christ, it's just kind of natural. It's just like, I just want to go to church. I want to be with the people of God. Sometimes as you get on in your life with Christ, it can become a grind, right? You start seeing people who are in the church. You're like, these people got issues, and they're bothering me, and they're gossiping, or whatever it is, you know, you're like, man, I just feel like I want to throw in the towel a little bit, you know? And God would say this morning, press on. The Apostle Paul would say to us, hey, keep pressing on. Forget the things that lie behind. Not only in the positive sense of our accomplishments or the good things that God has done, but I think for us also, our sin, right? If you think about your past and the things that you've been through, the things that are dark in your life that you're like, you know what, I want to take this to my grave. I don't want anyone to know about certain areas of my life. Those things can be a hindrance to your walk with Christ. For some of us, when we see this verse, we think, what it means to forget is I just don't have to think about it. It happened. I'm trying to move on. But if you don't properly deal with your past, you can't move on in the future. You can't walk presently the way that God would have you walk. Right? And so this has really ministered to me. Being able to open up and share with someone about your past struggles, about the things that you're ashamed of, I think there's real power in doing that. There's real freedom that Christ has for us. I've experienced that freedom, meeting with someone, saying, hey man, I need you to pray for me. I remember when I was 17 years old, there was a guy that said, hey, I want to meet with you, I want to pray with you. And I was like, this is the old German guy, like, we're pretty different. I mean, it was weird. I was like, this is kind of a weirder thing. But it was such a blessing to me, you know. And sometimes the people that God has us connect with are a lot different than us. They might be older. Might be just different background. But I can't tell you how much of a blessing that was for me. For me to open up to this guy and say, hey, here's where I've been. This is my past. And for that guy to just say, you know what? The Lord loves you. And He's forgiven you. Like, I didn't need to confess that to Him to be forgiven, but I needed to confess to someone so I could experience freedom. And so maybe God has that for you this morning. Maybe there's areas in your life where you're like, you know what? I want to take certain things to my grave, but God wants to bring freedom to your life. I would encourage you, pray about maybe God bringing someone or you pursuing someone to say, hey, can I meet with you and can we talk? Like, I would love just to chat with you and pray. And I really believe that we're going to experience the freedom that Christ has for us. Because as we bring ourselves and our past into the light, the darkness begins to lose its power. Think of how much power is in the darkness. When you keep your past life or your secret current struggles in the dark, the enemy is capitalizing on that. He's beating you up with that. He's trying to keep you isolated. And God's saying, hey, bring that into the light. Is that hindering your progress with Christ? How do we know if we've forgotten what lies behind? You're able to talk about it. You're able to open up to someone and say, hey, here's all my junk. They're able to say, Jesus loves you. You're covered by His grace. And we go forward. There are going to be times where God brings someone who doesn't know Him, And maybe they've gone through a similar struggle like you have. And you're going to be like, should I share about this area of my life? I know it would encourage them, but I'm tempted to hold on to my pride. And in that moment, what are you going to do? Because it's such a blessing for someone to hear, oh, wow, I struggle with this, and you struggle with this, and God's brought you through this. That's an amazing thing. For some of us, what it looks like to forget the things that are behind are not maybe the sins that you've committed, but the sins that have been committed against you. These are things that, it's not your fault, but there's been things that have happened to you, the sin of other people affecting you. And I believe God wants to bring freedom to you. He wants to show you, you know what, I love you. I know there's a lot of shame in that, of what was done to you, but I would encourage you, seek out people, maybe one person who you can share with and who could pray for you. James 5, verse 16 says that we're to confess our sins to one another. Not for forgiveness, but for freedom, for healing. We're to confess our sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And so I believe there's healing that God has for us this morning. But our part is to confess. Our part is to get prayer. And I believe the healing will come. And so Paul is saying, hey, what it looks like, this one thing I do of seeking Christ, I'm forgetting what lies behind. I'm not allowing my past to weigh me down in my present walk with Christ. And he says, I'm looking forward to what lies ahead. I'm straining forward to what lies ahead. This image of this racer. I was looking at this video this week and just about racing, because I'm like, I just want to look at some people running on the track. And there was this one guy that was like maybe 10 meters ahead of everybody, and he was in like Oregon State or something, but he starts looking to the sidelines and he's like, you know, like, come on, give some love. And before you know it, this other dude just swoops in and beats him right at the finish line. And so the guy was just like, oh my goodness, like, how could that happen? That's the worst. What Paul's saying here is, don't look to the side, don't look to the crowd, don't look behind you. Sometimes runners do that as well. When they look behind, you're trying to hear the footsteps, the crowd's cheering, you don't hear them, they look behind, and then the person blasts past them. He's saying, make sure that you look forward. Don't get distracted by what's going on around you or how other people are doing their relationship with Christ. You keep your eyes on Christ. In verse 14, he says, I'm pressing on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Keep pressing on. Some of you are tired this morning. I know it's warm in here too. We're tired. Sometimes it's been a hard season for some of us in our life with Christ. It's hard to keep going. Paul's saying, I'm pressing on. And my brother and my sister, keep pressing on in your life with Christ. Keep your eyes on the goal and the prize. That hurt. Keep your eyes on the goal. Keep your eyes on the prize. It's Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12 says that we keep our eyes on Jesus. We run this race with endurance, and we have our eyes on Jesus. It says in verse 15, let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. We have to think biblically, right? We have to think rightly about life. And Paul is saying here, if you're mature, we should be thinking this way. If you're struggling with receiving these things, he says, okay, I pray that God would give you understanding, that he would reveal the truth to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. There are a lot of questions we might have. Right, as we're speaking, we're in groups together. There's different questions that come up, and I love that. I love when we can ask questions. Because I think it's healthy. Not just to receive everything here. It's like, yeah, we want to receive the word, but we also, if we're struggling with doubts or questions, we want to be able to talk about those things. But whenever we have a question, whenever we're like, man, this is a really tough issue for me, we have to go back to what we know, right? He says here, let us hold true to what we have attained. You always have to go back to what are the things that you're certain of? What are the truths that you are fully assured of, that you're like, okay, this I know to be true of God. These other things, how does certain issues work out? God will give us understanding in those things. Notice verse 17, Paul's going to tell us to take note of good examples. In verse 17, take note of good examples. He says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. So as Paul is talking about running this race, he says, hey, join in imitating me. Paul wasn't perfect, right? He just described his life. He's saying, I haven't arrived. I'm not perfect. Join in me and imitating me in my pursuit of Christ, right? And other people as well. Look at the examples that we have in the body of Christ, in the church. He's saying, take note of those who walk according to the example that you have in us. We've got to keep our eyes open for people who are good examples, right? And we're called to be a good example as well. I don't have kids, but some of you do. And so I've seen some of you with your kids. It's an awesome thing. But I've seen parents before, and sometimes the kid will say a cuss word or something, and I'm like, wow, like, where'd they learn that? Someone was setting the example for them, right? It's like, they will imitate you. You know, I have our friend, she's a cute little baby, and I started doing something like, you know, and then she starts doing that. It was her first time, and people are like, that's her first, like, imitation, you know, and I'm like, I'm blessed and honored that she would imitate me, you know, but it was cute. It was awesome to see that. But we have to be aware of that. They're like, yeah, if you're a parent, your kids, they will pick up on your example, right? I remember that with my mom. There were things that I would see with her. They say that the values are more caught than taught, right? Like, you could tell your kids, hey, we go to church and we honor God, but they could see what you really value, right? They'd be like, oh, well, you're saying that, but I don't know if that's really... They'll see through it, and they'll be honest with you, too. Right? They're like, you're a little fat. That happened one time with my mom. I told this guy, that guy's fat, Mom. I was just being honest, but kids are honest. Coming back to the text. We have to be careful about the example that we set, right? Because people are watching us. When I was growing up, you know, my mom would model to us the things about God. She wasn't perfect. We're not perfect, but when she made a mistake, you know what she would do? She'd come to us and say, hey, please forgive me for being impatient or for what I said. And that stuck with me because that was like, wow, she's willing. I mean, I'm the child, you know? And she's willing to come to me and say, you know what? I was wrong. Please forgive me. And that taught me something about the gospel, about Jesus. That taught me that because our righteousness is in Christ, we're free to ask for forgiveness. That stuck with me. There's been people in the church who I've looked up to that have been a good example to me, and they haven't been perfect. You know, so we have to be careful about putting people on a pedestal, right? We have to watch our hearts that we don't exalt the person, but we look at the example they're setting. We acknowledge they're human, right? As a pastor, I'm human. As people in the church, we're human. We're all in the body of Christ. The pastor is not this exalted position. He's part of the body of Christ. And so we're all in this body together. And we're all called to be an example. And so Paul told this to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. He says, let no one look down upon you because you're young, but be an example to the believers. In word, in conduct, in faith, in love, in spirit, in purity. In all these different areas, he says, Timothy, you're a young pastor, and people are going to tend to look down upon you because of your age. He's too young. With youth comes foolishness sometimes, right? And Paul is saying, hey, don't give them opportunity to look down upon you. Be careful in the way that you speak, in the life that you live. Make sure that you're loving the people right. That it's in your heart, that you're serving the Lord from your spirit. And so this is a call on us. People are watching. Your kids are watching. The church is watching. People in your workplace are watching. How is this person working? When the boss comes around, they're cranking it out. But when he's gone, they're the laziest people ever. We have to make sure that we're not doing this for men. We work at our jobs as unto the Lord. Right? We love our kids like they're God's kids because they are God's kids. We don't do it just for the praise of man, just when the boss is looking. We do it to honor the Lord. We do it because we know we're setting an example whether you like it or not. People are catching what you're putting down. He says in verse 18 through 19, watch out for bad examples. There's a lot of bad examples. He says, for many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul contrasts the good examples and says, hey, why is it important that you have good examples to look at? Because there are plenty of bad examples. And for us, we think about those people, right? We rarely think of ourselves as bad examples, but I know for me, it's like there's times where I'm not a good example. It's being honest with the Lord. You know what? On the road, someone cuts me off. Man, it's tough. I'm not being a good example. I'm not doing anything crazy, but in my heart, boiling over. How could they do that to me? These different areas, I gotta repent of that, right? Say, okay, Lord, I don't want to be like that on the road. I don't want to be patient at church and then on the road and just be like driving like a crazy man, right? These certain areas where we have to say, okay, Lord, help us to be those good examples. But these people, in their nature, Paul is saying, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. See Paul's heart here. He's saying, I'm telling you, there's people, there's many of them actually. I've told you often about them. I've warned you about these kinds of people. And I'm telling you this with tears. Hear his heart here. He's saying, I'm actually weeping because there's enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. That's heavy language. He's saying they're going to hell. Their end is destruction. The Bible teaches about this. This can rub us the wrong way. We have to tell ourselves, are we going to be faithful to what God's Word has said? If it were up to our feelings, we might believe certain things about heaven, about hell, but we have to make sure that we're going to the Word of God. Why? Because if you really believe that, your heart will be broken for people that don't know Christ. Paul's saying there's these enemies of the cross. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. They don't worship God of creation. They worship the creation. They worship their appetites. They're driven by desire for sex, for food. Those things are gifts of God, but they've made them into ultimate things. Right? There were these people who would come in the church, kind of the opposite of the Judaizers. They would say, you know what? You can receive the grace of God and do whatever you want. Live however you want to live. Right? You hear that sometimes. I remember this one guy was talking to this one guy, and he was saying, you know what? I'm living with my girlfriend. I'm getting drunk all the time, but my grandma told me that God forgives me, so I just have to ask for forgiveness. Is that how it works? He was saying, I'm totally living this life that's not in line with the Word of God, and someone's trying to give him assurance and saying, hey, you're good. You just confess and you're good. And you can keep doing it. The Bible says very clearly that people who live a lifestyle where they embrace sin will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians and in Galatians. He lists out a list of the works of the flesh. And he says the people who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He says, don't be deceived. And so there's a lot of people walking around, and I felt for this guy. I'm like, you know what, man? I feel like if I love you, I have to share with you. That's not what the Bible says. If you truly experience the grace of God, that's going to lead you from a lifestyle of sin and into a lifestyle of righteousness. You're not saved by being a good person or by keeping all the rules. You're saved by the grace of Christ. But when you have a true understanding of the grace of Christ, that's going to lead to a transformed life. You're not going to be perfect, as we've seen today. It's not about perfection, it's about progression. You're going towards God. You're growing in your faith. And so this is a sobering thing. Paul's saying there's these people, they glory in their shame. The things that should be shameful, they're glorying in. He's like, my heart breaks for these people. Their minds are set on earthly things. We should be moved to pray for people who don't know Christ. When's the last time you prayed for someone and you felt this way that Paul felt? I felt sorrow for people that don't know Christ. We pray them into the kingdom of God. We cry out to God, say, God, please bring them to yourself. In verse 20 through chapter 4, verse 1, we want to look to our ultimate example, right? This isn't just a message of like, just do more, be more, try harder. It's more like, let's look to Christ. Christ is going to enable us to live out the things we see in Scripture. He says, our citizenship is in heaven. How does our citizenship, how is it in heaven? Through what Christ has done for us. We've been born again. We've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the beloved Son. You have a new zip code, right? Yes, you live in California, but he's saying your true citizenship is in heaven. That's where our citizenship lies. And he says we're waiting for the Savior to come back. One day Christ will come back. It says he'll transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. This knowledge that Christ is coming back, it shapes us for how we live today. It shapes us to walk in holiness, right? There's scriptures that talk about we want to be found blameless. We want to be found not by surprise, right? Christ comes back and I'm like, hand in the cookie jar, so to speak. We want to be training ourselves for godliness, allowing the grace of God to lead us into righteousness, right? It's not like a burden something. Honestly, you have to be born again of God. Like if you're hearing me this morning, you're like, I don't know if I put my faith in Christ, and you're just hearing me telling you to do things, like that's not going to work. You really have to come to Christ. You have to become a new creation. You have to be a new creature. It says if anyone's in Christ, they're a new creation. The old things have passed away and all things have become new. In order to walk in these things, we have to be new people. We have to have new hearts. And with new hearts come new desires. Jesus has supplied that for us. Once you believe in that, God gives you grace to walk in it. Right? Now it's taking it from last week, our position in Christ, to this week. Be who you truly have been made to be. You are sons and daughters of God. Let's live like that, Paul's saying. Christ will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I love that last piece there. Paul's like, I love you guys. You're my beloved. He says, you guys are my joy and crown. I'm telling you these truths not to beat you over the head with it, not to lay a heavy burden on you. I'm telling you these things because I love you, Paul's saying. Don't misunderstand his heart. He says, I love you and I long for you. I want that heart. I want us to have that heart for each other, right? But when I see you on a Sunday morning, man, Andrew, I love you and I long for you, bro. You know, it's a weird thing, but it's like, you know what? It's so good because we are the people of God. We're the family of God. And so it's like every time we gather, it's a blessing. It's an amazing gift that we've been given to be placed in this body with each other. Do we see each other as such? You are the beloved of God. That God will give us a love and a care and a longing for each other. And when we see each other straying, being distant, we would love each other enough to say, hey, how are you, man? How are you, sister? Can we pray for you? We'd reach out in love, not to judge, but to come alongside in love. And Paul says, I want you to stand firm in the Lord. And so may the Lord give us the grace we need for that this week. As we go about our weeks, whatever situation, whatever the circumstances are for you, I pray that God would give us that ability to stand firm in Him. That it's not by our might, it's not by our own strength, our own power, it's by the Holy Spirit that we can do that. So I pray the Spirit of God would come upon us and enable us and empower us to walk in these.